Got an email this morning. I want to acknowledge it from Brooks Esser. And my dad, Bernie Esser, a native San Franciscan, huge Giants fan, attended over 1,000 games in his lifetime, passed away last Sunday. Of course, the Giants haven't won since. I'm convinced that if Dwayne and Mike give him a shout-out on the broadcast on Sunday, it'll be enough to break the curse. Well, I don't know if I could get that message to Dwayne and Mike, but certainly I can do it. And I knew Bernie Esser, and I'm very happy to be able to do that for the family on the show today. A wonderful sports fan. I saw him in Cooperstown in the early 2000s, and if there was always an event in San Mateo or down in that area, met him with Gino Cimoli and Frank Zuppo and people like that. Bernie Esser was always there, just a fan, but he had the most fabulous collection of baseball books that I have ever seen in my life. It was like going into a public library, except it was his house. And he would, you know, allow me to take some books out, and I read them and return them. But a very nice man. And I saw him in Cooperstown probably about 10 years ago and sort of lost track of him. But, Brooks, I'll do the shout-out to your dad, Bernie Esser. We miss him. And, of course, he always joked. He said, my nickname is B. Esser. That's what he would say. It was very good. Very sweet man. And I'm sorry that he's gone, and I enjoyed meeting him. All right. Alex Pavlovich joins us from Denver. Alex, Bay Area Newspaper Group, it is a Sunday morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Marty?
I'm doing great. We're ready to go, and here we go. Andy tweeted something yesterday about the clubhouse after the game. What was that clubhouse like after the game?
It was not good. It was a lot of guys kind of sitting at their lockers looking down or looking. You know, I thought a lot of guys looked confused almost, just trying to kind of figure out how to get out of this and what's happened the last 2 weeks, the last month. I think it's a stretch where you have a lot of guys on the team slumping, and some of them don't know how to get out of it right now. So it was definitely a quiet clubhouse. It was a little bit different than we're used to. Even after losses, these guys usually handle it pretty well. And you know, I think, as Andy wrote, the coaching staff was not in a good mood. So, yeah, I mean, it was something where this team really, you know, you always need a win, but this team right now, even regardless of what happens on the rest of the road trip, they just need to get one here just to kind of get back on the right track, at least for a day or two.
I brought it up in the beginning of the show, and I'll just throw it out to you. You know, you always reach back in your memory for how things happen in baseball. We've been down this road a million times over all these years of you know, losses and things like that. I said, the top of the order. When was the last time the first two guys at the top of the order got on base together and gave the, you know, the 3, 4, 5 guys a shot to, you know, to bust something open? And I, you know, I don't have my scorebooks and all that. Of course, yesterday, Torres gets on, he's still second, and Scooter bunts him to third. You know, they wanted that first run. I understand it. But sometimes to get out of a slump, you've got to be aggressive with your hitters and your runners. Because if a hitter's not hitting well, 0 for 19 or 0 for 16, whatever Sandoval may be, or Crawford's struggling, you put a hit and run on ahead of them, they have to concentrate more on that at bat. And I've been told that by coaches. So that's just one thing. Has anyone talked about that, or do you notice that maybe the top of the order doesn't get on enough together?
You know, I actually think the problem, for the most part, has been the middle of the order, not Buster Posey, but the other guys. I think Pablo Sandoval and Hunter Pence had some opportunities yesterday and then have had some opportunities this week. And I think when both of those guys are going bad at the same time, and Hunter's had a rough road trip, and Pablo, since he came back from the disabled list, just, I think he's about 2 for 19. So it's when you have those two guys, whether they're hitting fourth and fifth or whatever they do with those two, they're going to be fourth and fifth. They're going to be different spots on different days. But if you have those two guys struggling at the same time, it's going to be hard to score runs. I think, you know, Torres had 3 hits yesterday, and Gregor Blanco, for the most part, has had a pretty good month. And I, you know, if you look at it, Gregor's had one of his best months as a Giant as the leadoff hitter, and the Giants are still averaging, I think, 3.2 runs per game this month. So I'm not sure it's necessarily the guys right at the top. I think the guys in the middle, they really need those guys who make a lot of money and are all-stars and big names. I think they need them to perform like they have in the past.
No, I agree with you. You know, but I'm just saying, you know, get those first two guys on at the same time, and let's see what happens. But I don't know, just a thought I had this morning about it. How's Bruce Bochy handling all this? You know, in reading some of the stories, the game stories, he seems a little terse, which I don't blame him. You know, you're getting a losing streak like this. How's he doing?
He is, you know, like you said, a little terse and hard to blame him at all. I think it's something where it's probably more frustrating for him than anybody, because there's not that much you can do when your team is going out there and you're getting three hits from Posey and nothing from the rest of the guys, or you get three hits from Torres and very little from the rest of the guys. I think it's something where he's trying to mix and match here. He's trying to find a fix. And yesterday, I think he understood that he got everything he needed from Matt Cain, and they still weren't able to win. So that's one of those that's going to be really tough to swallow. I think it's one that probably stayed with him all night, and that was exactly what they wanted from Matt. And I think Bruce also probably is going to be looking more at the moves that he's made. And when you lose a game by a run and you've lost six in a row, you're going to be looking more at what you have done that maybe didn't work out. And this week, I mean, it's fair to say he's had a couple moves that really didn't work out. I think yesterday we saw that too. And you know, that's going to be another thing that probably keeps him up at night.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, as Andy said yesterday, he's a Hall of Fame manager. I said, look, everybody goes through slumps, and some of these pitching moves have not worked out for him, and he's very persistent about sticking with what he thinks are the good guys. I thought Romo should have been in the game yesterday. That was a game you wanted to win. You didn't want to waste the Cain effort, and to have Affeldt give up the stolen base, whatever, on him or Sanchez, whoever it was, the next couple of guys are right-handed, and I thought Romo should have been in there.
I actually thought Matt Cain should have stayed out there. Yeah, I mean, I can see why you make that move. And I just think Cain, you know, he'd retired 20 in a row. I think that's a guy who his pitch count was 105, but that's a guy who could definitely go into the 120s, I think, and not be too affected by it. And certainly can throw another 10 or 12 on top of what he had done, and really was having 10 pitch innings over and over and over again. So I think he could have gone out there, and for him it was a good matchup with Gonzalez, somebody who he's dominated more than anybody, and it's pretty impressive what he's done with Cargo, and then Todd Helton, somebody who I think he was about 12 for 60 against Matt. So it is always tough when you're asking your pitcher to stay out there for a ninth inning or get, you know, too far past the 100 pitches. But to me, I mean, like you said, I think that was a game they absolutely had to have, and one where you didn't want to waste that effort from Cain. And if you have to get nine innings out of Cain and two out of Romo and see if that does the job, I think maybe that was the way to go.
Yeah, and I think we're in that mode today. And Bumgarner may not be as strong as Cain, you know, pitch count-wise and all that. But if this gets to the eighth inning and you get down that road again, it's another game you got to win. You got to break this thing. And get on a plane and go to Cincinnati and try to do something there. Alex Pavlovich is with us. What is the story with Arias? Is he available?
Yeah, he should be. I mean, he was hitting yesterday. They said he was available as a pinch hitter on Friday. So I know he took some ground balls yesterday. And from everything I saw, I mean, he might not be 100%. I think he's probably not very close to 100%. But at least he's available to play.
All right, pinch hitter. I don't know if pinch run, but certainly he can pinch hit, I guess. Yeah. Kickham goes on Monday. What is his status now? I've got conflicting readings from you guys. Does he get another start? Go down to the bullpen? What does Kickham have to do Monday, and what's at stake here?
You know, I think he's still auditioning. I think if he pitches well on Monday, they wouldn't hesitate to throw him out there. And then in his next start at home,
Dodgers.
It's been a rough stretch for him. He had to go to Oakland and face a very good team, and then go to Los Angeles and face a team that's one of the hottest in the majors right now. And it just got Matt Kemp back. And now he has to go to Cincinnati and pitch at that ballpark. So it's a rough way to open up his big league career. I'd be curious to see what he could do at AT&T Park with that crowd behind him in that big park and see if he can handle it a little bit better. And I think Godin is so valuable in the bullpen that if they can get Kickham to be somewhere where they can use him as a, you know, semi-reliable starter, Godin really helps that bullpen where maybe the biggest need is right now. So I don't think it's a lock that Kickham gets sent down. And as Bruce Bochy mentioned yesterday, we were kind of surprised. He said he doesn't mind seeing Kickham in the bullpen this year. So
yeah.
Maybe that's another move for him.
Yeah, they like him. You know, if you guys have written about it, I've been reading it. Left-handed long man in the bullpen. But you're right. Once the bullpen gets straight, Casilla starts his rehab today. Is Friday against the Dodgers realistic for Casilla?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they didn't set a timetable for him, but I think if you're looking at him pitching today and probably pitching 2 days from now and maybe one more time after that, I think if he doesn't have any setbacks, and from what I've seen, he looks really – you know, looks really far ahead of where they thought he would be. And the other day he threw two simulated innings and then went out and ran some sprints on that surgically repaired knee or tibia. So I think he's fine and probably won't need more than two or three outings in San Jose. I think Friday against the Dodgers seems like the logical day.
Good. All right. Now, these are questions we've been kicking around. God, I've been on for so many days in a row here. I forget when we all started. But Brian Sabian, he says, look, I want to see where we are. The guys who are here, they're the ones who have to do it. And he's not jumping at anything right now. Is that legitimate, or do you think they're actually, you know, planning something right now?
No, I think that's legitimate. I think if you watch this team over the last week, over the last month, the last 42, 43 games, it's pretty hard to make the argument that they should go out there and mortgage the future a little bit to add to this club. I think he needs to see them play better. It's as simple as that. They've invested a lot. They've invested over $140 million in this group, and these are guys that they brought in here by trades or guys that they've drafted. I mean, this is a team that won a World Series. If they're going to keep playing the way they are right now, there's really no reason to go out there and trade a Clayton Blackburn or trade some of the other guys down there, some of the other pitching prospects, you know, or trade some of your guys at AAA that maybe you're counting on next year. I think they frankly just need to see them pitch better and need to see them play better. And we asked some guys about that yesterday, and Jeremy Affeldt was very honest about it. He said, I'm not the GM. I don't know what it's going to do, but I have to focus on myself. I have to play better. And that's somebody who they gave a big deal in the offseason. So, you know, if those guys are going to keep performing the way they are, I think it's hard to make the argument that you go out there and add pieces.
All right. No, I'm with you all the way on that one. If there is one guy on this offense to get it going, and Posey's, of course, having a great month, who's the next guy that you say, all right, this guy, if he could just get it going? Because I know Jeff Francoeur is now out there, and people called in about him yesterday. He's an extra piece if you ever wanted him. But who's the one guy that you just described that's got to make it happen on that offense?
Jeff Francoeur, I don't think, is a very good piece. So I don't know. We get a lot of those questions. I'm not sure if people have actually looked deeper into his numbers. But if you're talking about one guy who needs to get going, I mean, certainly, like you mentioned, if you get somebody on in front of Buster, it's going to help. So if Marco could turn it around here and get on one of his little tears, I think that would help. The one guy who I think will help is Brandon Belt. I think a lot of guys in that lineup look lost right now, and Posey looks like he's ready to go on one of those six-week, 2 month tears that he gets on. And the other guy who looks like he's not lost is Brandon Belt. I think he's looked pretty good over the last week, and his head gets swings, and even his outs are hit pretty hard. He hit into a hard out the other day when they really needed a good break and just a great play by the second baseman. So that's a guy who I think will be out there and somebody who, they had to give Buster a semi day off yesterday, but I think going forward on the rest of this trip, if you can get Belt going behind Buster and maybe get one or two other guys going, I think that's going to be enough. The way they're pitching right now and the teams they're playing, I mean, the Rockies they've won the last couple, but they haven't really gone out there and dominated. And the Reds have had a little bit of a rough stretch here. So I think that would be enough. It's just a matter of getting two or three guys going right now until the rest of the group can kind of figure out what's going on here.
All right, great. Have a good day today. When do you fly out to Cincinnati?
Early tomorrow morning, so that'll be a fun one.
Okay, Alex, thanks again for taking the time. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
All right, thanks, Marty.
All right, that is Alex Pavlovich. I call him Al. Bay Area Newspaper Group, just a wonderful contributor, really, in the baseball world. Really knows his stuff.